We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ah, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. Discovery Channel's Paul DeGeld is going to join us in a minute as they got Shark Weekend coming up. He was in the Australian Navy and lost an arm and a leg to a bull shark attack. So we're going to talk to him and talk a little shark action with him. As I want a Tiger King this weekend, Leroy, so I need some more animal hijinks to get into.
All right, we'll see. I'm interested to, like, cause, man.
Yep.
Like when you have a mission.
Yep.
And it requires you to be in a big body of water. The last thing on your mind is a shark eating you.
Pretty crazy. We'll talk to him in just a minute, but let's get to some headlines real quick before we talk to Paul.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
So yesterday we got the news of Tua Tagovailoa, who says he's 100% to go. He participated in voluntary medical rechecks facilitated by the NFL Combine with an independent doctor selected by the NFL team positions. And the results were overwhelmingly positive. Tua, this is according to Field Yates, his hip was rechecked by Titans team doctor Thomas Bird, who is considered one of the most respected hip specialists in the world. So he is an evaluator that other teams were familiar with and hold in regard. So if he gives good news, that's good news as far as the quarterback from Alabama is concerned, as we are closing in on the draft and, you know, they'll probably take Jordan Love, so none of this mattered.
So he's here or in Australia?
Who, Paul?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, you can ask him.
Yeah.
What?
I would guess he's here.
I don't know. I don't know.
Does he have the accent?
I mean, I would think he has the accent, man. I don't know. I've never. I don't know.
Come on. I know you though.
What do you mean you know me? I saw Shark Attack.
If he's a Brit or he's from Australia, anywhere else other than here, you get all giddy.
Somebody says, "What the hell is a Shark Attack survivalist?" Sounds like he's expert at surviving shark attacks. I just bet he survived a shark attack. All right, man. Give me a break. I'm quarantined. I don't know what's up, what's down at this point. So we'll talk to him in just a second. Myers Leonard, we'll talk a little bit about this at 15 minutes of heat a little bit more, but he's doing a cool thing as he's going to be streaming for 24 hours straight on ESPN's esports Twitch channel starting on Sunday at 1 o'clock for what he is calling the Hammer Classic. He is donating $25,000, which will be matched by the NBA Players Association. The Hammer Classic is going to help fund Feeding America and Feeding South Florida. Over 24 hours, Leonard's going to be playing Call of Duty, Fortnite, and a host of other games, and he's going to be joined by other athletes, games, and celebrity friends. So if you guys want to do that, donate to Feeding South Florida. Go to heat.com/donate as the Hammer's working on that. So that's a really cool thing that Myers Leonard is doing. Tom Brady, Leroy, he is moving in to Derek Jeter's Tampa Bay mansion. He is renting as he plays for the Buccaneers, as Derek Jeter's located in South Florida because of his role with the Marlins. So Tom is moving in there as he will play for the Bucks this season. We looked it up a little bit earlier, and it looks like he's probably paying. What did you estimate, Leroy? He's probably paying in rent a month.
Well, they said what, $44,000.
That's crazy.
I estimated at $50,000, but if the house is only worth $7 million, he paying way too much.
But it is Jeet's house.
Don't matter. With you, who's more famous, Tom Brady or Derek Jeter?
Who's more famous?
Yeah.
I mean, Tom's still playing, so I guess I'll consider him more famous at the moment.
Jeter can't upcharge Tom Brady.
All right, we'll get into this debate.
He should get a deal because he's Tom Brady.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas in one of America's largest showrooms. At Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Paul DeGelder joins us there from Discovery Channel. They got Shark Weekend coming up start tomorrow, Leroy. Very excited about this as I am looking for some great programming. Paul, thanks for the time, man.
No problem. How you guys doing?
We're good, good. Man. We are good. So, Leroy, do you want to ask him about the idea of everything that went down in his mind? Because Leroy was fascinated by this, Paul, when he heard your story about surviving your attack in the midst of a mission, being a part of the Australian Navy. When you're doing a mission, like, do you even consider the idea that a shark attack can happen? You know, these risks that you even think about in training for this type of stuff? And just can you take us through your experience of all that?
Mate, I was terrified of sharks. Every single time I got in the water, I had sharks on the brain. But, you know, you have a mission and a job to fulfill, and so you just got to push that fear to the back of your mind and get on with it. So that's what I did every time I got in the water. But that day was a little different because the shark actually turned up and decided to change my life forever. So it actually, it was right in Sydney Harbour where there hadn't been a shark attack in 60 years. And so, you know, you feel pretty safe in that statistic. And I was on the surface swimming on my back, what we call finning, and we were testing some new equipment from the R&D department of the military. And it was just a normal everyday sort of thing. We weren't really doing anything special. Swimming along on my back, and a bull shark came up from underneath me and grabbed me by the hand and the hamstring in the same bite. And, you know, I'd never even seen a big, dangerous shark before in my life. And so it took my brain a couple of seconds to process it. And then those survival instincts that we all have kicked in, and I thought, oh, I've seen Shark Week. I'll jab it in the eyeball. But I couldn't because it had my hand. And so I reached over with my left and I couldn't reach the eye. So I tried to push it off by the nose. I tried to punch it in the head. But just before I got to punch it, it decided that I was food and started to shake me. And that's when the pain kicked in and it just took all the fight and all the strength out of me. It took me underwater and started tearing me apart. And so I, at one point, remember thinking, I'm not going home today. I'm going to die right now. And fortunately, that wasn't the case. The shark ripped out my hamstring and ripped off my hand. And so my wetsuit made me buoyant. I popped to the surface and I saw my safety boat and I thought, I've got to get out of here before it comes back. So I started to swim and I took a stroke, but my hand was totally gone. And so my medical training kicked in and I thought, I've got to keep that wound above my heart. So I've got that out of the water. I'm swimming with one leg and one hand through a pool of my own blood. And the guys in the safety boat are coming to me to render first aid. And fortunately, they got to me first and kept me alive until the paramedics turned up.
Jesus. Holy.
Yeah, that was a pretty rough day at work.
I can't understand. Here's what I can't understand. After all that, right? Because now, me and you were on the same page when you said how terrified you are of sharks. I can't, I don't go in oceans. I'm terrified. But then now you're an advocate of sharks. How did you get from there, getting almost eaten by a shark, then to now being an advocate?
Well, I never blamed the shark. It was just a shark doing sharky stuff. And I was in its realm, and I chose an inherently dangerous life. I was jumping out of aircraft, playing with bombs and mines and explosives, shooting guns and rocket launchers. I rode a big black Italian sports bike. You know, it's, you can't choose that sort of path and then get upset when something goes wrong. So you have to, you know, you sign that waiver. So I never blamed the shark. It was horrible. And I did go through a lot of pain and very long periods of sadness where it was just very tough. But at the same time, you know, I had a life to live. And so I had to try and put into place a plan to make sure that I would have a good life, because one of the only powers that we have as humans is our power of choice. And so I had to choose, what do I want? Do I want a good life or a bad life? Obviously, you're going to choose a good life. And so that was the plan. I put my little challenges and goals in place to achieve that plan, and it just really worked out that the sharks would reappear into my world. And that was basically because Discovery Channel wanted to do a simple interview with me, and the news often wanted to talk to me about shark attacks that happened in Australia. And so out of the necessity of not sounding like a dumbass on television, I had to learn about sharks. And there's that old adage that knowledge dispels fear. And it was funny because the more I learned about sharks, the more I realized how much they had to fear of us and how little we should have to fear of them. Because, you know, we're not getting attacked every day. If sharks wanted to eat us, they'd be killing us every day. But we kill over 100 million of them every year. And so I didn't feel like it was right. And my military service was all about standing up for those that can't stand up for themselves and speaking up for them. And that kind of transferred over to the environmental realm now, where I feel like it's the same sense of service, of protection.
We're talking to Paul DeGelder. You got Discovery Channel Shark Weekend starting tomorrow at 9 a.m. A huge shark, almost a shark week packed into a weekend marathon that starts at 9 a.m. on Saturday and runs all the way through 6 p.m. on Sunday night. So if you're into sharks and animals and things like that, this is a pretty awesome weekend for you guys. Everybody looking for entertainment. Paul, have you watched, have you gotten a chance to see the reaction or watch the documentary Tiger King? And like, do you relate any to that, of people's fascination with big cats to fascinations with sharks? Because this has obviously opened a lot of people's eyes to the craziness that kind of goes on in our country of people holding big cats and overbreeding them and stuff like that. Like, did you see any parallels to maybe the mistreatment of big cats, the mistreatment of sharks, and people's fascination with killing machines?
Yeah, I have seen, I think, one or two episodes. It's pretty mind-boggling. These people really are odd ducks, as far as I'm concerned. Making money off animal exploitation is never something that I would abide by. I went fully plant-based 4 years ago because I couldn't really justify trying to save the animals and trying to eat the animals at the same time. I felt like a bit of a hypocrite. And so I'm against all forms of animal exploitation, and hopefully no one starts trying to, you know, take great white sharks into their backyard swimming pools.
Yeah, that would be nobody can even keep the great. Is there one shark above all others that you think like is the craziest killing machine? Like, does the bull shark hold a different place in your mind because it was the one that attacked you, or is there another shark where you're just like, whoa, that's a different type of danger that thing brings in the element?
Yeah, mate, bull shark, definitely. I definitely always keep my eye on the bull shark when it's around. But at the same time, you can't take credit away from the massive fierceness of the great whites and the curiosity of the tiger sharks. You know, they all hold a pretty special place for their differences, as well as their, you know, a bit of respect for their danger.
Man, it is crazy. So check out this weekend on Discovery Channel, starting tomorrow at 9 a.m. Shark Weekend on Discovery Channel. Paul DeGelder, kind enough to join us. Thanks for the time, Paul. We really appreciate it, man. That was a wild story you told us.
Yes, it was.
No worries, fellas. Take it easy.
All right, that's Paul DeGelder. Appreciate you giving us some time. You
shook me, Roy? Floored.
Woo! Jesus.
I'm telling you. Like,
He had the voice like you asked.
I don't know what to say. Like, to then say I'm an advocate for sharks. No, I'm Team Petty. No.
You become Bill Leroy would be out there spearfishing from the boat if a shark ever got him.
Shark's like, hey, why you hate us? You tried to eat me.
I don't know if you know this bull shark. I mean, if you could just hold a little bit of understanding here as you tried to turn me into lunch.
Here's the thing, though. You know what he said where I was on the same page with him? We get in that water, and the shark is just being a shark. Mm-hmm. We can't be mad at him. I'm like, that's why Leroy doesn't get in the water.
Because you just never know when a shark's going to be a shark.
Correct.
Jeez. All right, we'll get to you caught up. 15 minutes of heat coming up for you next. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is time for 15 minutes of heat. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Thanks again to Paul DeGelder for joining us. Talking a little sharks with us. They got Shark Weekend coming up on Discovery Channel. You can text us 67974. Somebody says, the moment this guy started talking, I knew Tobin liked him. Exactly.
Yep.
Mate, I mean, this shark came up and bit me in the arm. Then took out my hammy. I was like, oh.
I mean,
remembered. How could you even survive that, dude? He's like, yeah, I remembered my medical training. I'm like, you remembered stuff?
I wouldn't remember nothing.
Nothing.
Now, how big was this shark that he tried to poke him in the eye and couldn't reach it?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. Does it matter? Big enough to bite him off? Big enough to bite off his arm and leg?
Yep.
Those bull sharks don't play, man.
How big is a bull shark?
Let me see. I'll bring it up. Bull shark, average size. Let's see. It says a bull shark can get up to 300 pounds for a female, 200 pounds for a male. They can get up to about 8 feet long.
That's not that big.
Yeah, those teeth aren't that big.
No. I didn't say that. I just said compared to a great white.
Oh no. It's not a great white. A great white would probably just bite you straight in half, dude. Because those great whites do those from the bottom attacks.
Right. And the other thing is that he probably was closer to shore than a great white would hang out, right?
He was in the bay, so yeah, I would assume so. Right. Usually those great whites are in oceans, in those deep waters. I just saw Leroy, by the way, our boy Dunks, Duncan Robinson, a.k.a. Strokinson. He is on his Instagram page, and Dunks doesn't post much on social media, so it's good to see. He goes, did you know that you can support countless of heroes in South Florida who are helping fight coronavirus by donating to Feeding South Florida? Over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be donated to 3 organizations with Dunkin' Donuts. I encourage everyone to donate what they can. So, Duncan Robinson and Dunkin' Donuts have partnered up, Leroy.
Finally.
We did it.
Well, but guess what?
I mean, he did it. Being one of the shooters.
He did it. They didn't do nothing.
The stroke man. I was obvious move in the world, Dunks. Put Dunkin' Donuts and Duncan Robinson together. Miami runs on Dunkin'. It's so easy. God, I miss running on Duncan. I miss those threes. I miss them so much.
How many threes could he have possibly ended up with? Holy
I know.
He could have
smashed the record. I mean, he might smash the record the next time there's a regular. He might smash the record again the next time he gets a chance. But a lot of, you know, to put a point to what he's doing with the Feeding South Florida thing, you know, since Udonis Haslam's Players Tribune article came out, a lot of the whole team has kind of rallied around Feeding South Florida. And you guys can go to heat.com/donate. It's really easy, Leroy. If you type that in, it takes you right to the page where you can donate. Super easy to do. And they're all gathering. You know, Goron talked about this week, Spo, and Myers Leonard is doing the Hammer Down tournament, which is him streaming on Twitch. He's donated $25,000, which is going to be matched by the Players Association. And they're going to be trying to take donations the entire time. I saw Kyle Van Noy of the Miami Dolphins, new Miami Dolphins linebacker. He is he's also a gamer, and he's going to join in and wants to play representing the Miami Dolphins. So it's cool to see the community kind of coming together and trying to raise some money during this this really, really tough time.
Yeah, it is. And look, and you know, they're worried about, you know, what to do and whatever, and they have a lot of free time, and so it's good that they're taking that time and trying to do something to help the people that probably need it more than them.
Texter writes in, a bull shark is the most aggressive shark there is, responsible for most of the attacks. Dudes, read some books. Listen, broski, don't come at me with my animal knowledge. Nobody questioned the bull shark's viability of being an attacker. We just said it's not the biggest shark out there, dumb. Why don't you learn to open your ears up and listen a little bit and not be so stifled with trying to make everybody so right? What, do you walk around life and you don't get to prove enough people wrong? Is that what you just go through life thinking? Oh, I need to be Mr. Fact Guy. I need to be Well Actually Guy. Who said the bull shark doesn't attack a lot of people? All Leroy said was, not as big as a great white shark, but you were too busy in being Facty McGee, wanting to be Mr. Trivial Pursuit, to even hear that out. Am I right, Leroy Horde?
That is correct.
Come on, man. That's not a knife. This is a knife. Mate. Anytime he calls me mate, I'm going to be happy. Mate. Come on, mate. Yeah, you almost bit my life off, but you're my mate. The one thing I would be happy with is if the Heat got a true Australian in the locker room to pair up with Goran Dragic. That'd be great.
Really?
Who do you think sounds scarier talking about a shark attack? Would it be Gogi or would it be an Australian?
I think it would be Gogi because he wouldn't be able to really explain what the hell was happening to him, because in Australia they know about sharks. When you think Gogi has ever been confronted by a shark?
Is Slovenia on the water?
Sharks don't, the water never gets warm enough.
What? The sharks could be anywhere, bro. What are you talking about?
There's
great whites off in cold water.
Pull it up. Sharks in Russia.
All right, first of all, I don't know that that's the case because I don't know how much water is around Russia.
Which furthers my point, why would Gogi ever interact with a shark or know what a shark is?
He's Slovenian. He's not Russian.
Slovenian. Okay, go. I'll pull it up for you. Don't worry. I got this one. Slovenian sharks.
Okay, I got Slovenia shark attack data. Timeline of unprovoked attacks. One provoked Slovenian attack in Slovenian history. Zero unprovoked attacks. It was a boating incident. That's it. That's all they got. One in the history of time.
Okay. There.
According to sharkattackdata.com.
Which brings me back to my point. Why would Gogi ever be able to explain a shark or a shark attack?
I'm just saying, if he was to do a nature show. Now, in Russia, they have 4 attacks in their history. All unprovoked. Non-fatal, though. No fatal attacks in the history of Russia, which is saying something, because you could get killed by a bear.
It was probably a shark that got lost.
Texter writes in, I'm surprised Australian Parliament let that dude come on the show and the Simmons event. I mean, I don't think he ever did come on the show. He just mocked us via Twitter. We should get that guy on. I wanted to get it if there was going to be a rematch. I wanted to go Double or Nothing this year. But who knows if there's even going to be a playoffs that do Double or Nothing. That's the sad thing about it. Because I would love to go Double or Nothing with that Molotov cocktail that is the Philadelphia 76ers this year. With Simmons with his bad back and Joel Embiid. Oh, my God. You want to talk about somebody who can't be out of basketball shape? Joel Embiid. My God. That guy could balloon up himself. You know, Jay Rich will be fine. I think he'll be fine for them. But, oh, I wanted that series bad this year, Heat versus Sixers, for sure. Text writes in, there's a Greenland shark, Leroy. That's in the polar waters.
Hold on. Greenland shark.
Yep. It's kind of ugly looking.
Oh, I see him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's hideous, isn't he?
Wow.
Look at him, love. Look at him. Yeah.
We'll get
he doesn't
him.
Even have like the pointy nose or nothing.
Nah, he's like roundabout. It really, you know what it looks like? It looks like one of those lost animals where they're like, hey, yeah, look at this new species that we found. And you're not really interested in what they got going on there.
Oh, yeah.
I would say, like, look, the best sharks out there, you got gray white shark, tiger shark, hammerhead shark, and then I guess I go bull shark for frequency. Although I'm a big fan of a mako. A mako's fast. I like a blue shark, too. Even a lemon. I like a little bit of lemon. Bum-ass sharks. Nurse shark's a bum-ass shark. Sand tiger, more intimidating by looks than it is actual sharkdom. You know what it is? Leroy, could you give me, like, a wide receiver or a guy who looks the part but really wasn't that good a player? Maybe a David Boston, if you will.
Yep, that's the first one came to mind.
Yeah, a David Boston. That would be like the sand tiger shark. They got those gnarly-ass teeth, but you ain't got to worry about it. That's one of those sharks that's not that dangerous. They put in a shark tank to look dangerous, to impress everybody, because it's got all the it's got those real Tiger King teeth, like looking like a real meth shark. But it ain't intimidating, I'm telling you.
By the way, not a small shark.
Which one, the Greenland?
Yep.
Yeah.
It can get up to 23 feet and 2,260 pounds.
Probably needs that that thick cartilage to be in the polar water.
I guess.
Definitely does. Definitely does. So
wow. They said they can get up to 13 feet. Which takes about 150 years to achieve. So they live forever.
Anyway, so Myers Leonard yesterday was on a conference call talking to some reporters. He estimated that his ankle was 90% healthy. He made it clear that he's not in basketball shape. They, I guess, are delivering him a stationary bike, Leroy. That's got to be a big bike for the big hammer. You got to have those big old ostrich legs, big old pumping. To get it going, but he's been doing some rehab in the pool. But that was a bad ankle injury, man. I mean, if you're a big fella like him, to not be at this point, because we would have been talking what, like there's a week left in the season at this point if we actually were at basketball level. So it would have been dicey if he was going to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, if he's still talking about the swelling finally going down, that means it was a significant ankle injury.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. He did go third person on everyone's ass when he went. At the end of the day, Myers Leonard is about winning, period. I love it here. I really do. So would I have been able to return near the end of the regular season? My hopes were yes. Get some games under my belt and then be ready for the playoffs. But let me tell you, cast it or do whatever you have to do. Myers Leonard is playing in the playoffs, period. At the end of the day, that's what I'm about, winning. I figured out the rest of the rehab stuff in the summer, if that were the case, that's how I feel about it. You like that guy? Look, he is very, very fan friendly. He is embraced Heat culture. He has dipped into the holy Zoe waters to try and Heat culturize himself in just this 1 year. He's super accessible to the fans. I would say to a lot of people, he's a fan favorite, especially. You know, just especially with his personality, I think he's like clean cut Birdman, to be honest with you.
You think?
Yeah, like he's got a lot of the Birdman qualities. Like you like the personality, all that stuff. Like Birdman would be like Zilla. I don't, you know, those interviews that he had with Jason Jackson were legendary. You know, people liked him, but they also liked him because he was crazy and he had tattoos. Myers Leonard, he has no tattoos. Oh, he actually does have tattoos, but not like Birdman. I'm talking like real ink. Like, could you imagine Myers Leonard with a neck tat?
No, he's too clean cut.
Too clean cut. So he's got, you know, I think he's got some bicep tattoos or something like that. But he ain't got, but like, that's what started. Go look up Rookie Birdman. You ever see Rookie Birdman, Leroy? That's Myers
with
Leonard.
With no tats. Like Rookie Rodman.
Yep. Rookie Rodman, before he went crazy changing his hair and whatnot. Before he wore the wedding dress and whatnot, that's what we're dealing with. Now, Myers Leonard's still a young man. I'm not saying it can't take a turn towards the ink side. We could get a point where someday Myers Leonard gets a neck tat like Birdman. Who knows?
Nah, that ship has sailed.
Damage is done, my friend. Yep. Also, Mrs. Leonard might have a problem with that. It's got to be a big decision when you have to come to your wife and say neck tattoo. What do you think?
That is true. That is true. It would probably, be a tough sale.
Like, what would be your reaction if, like, your wife came back? Like, what's the equivalent for a neck tattoo for a dude? Is that like a thigh tattoo for a woman?
Thigh tattoo is, yeah. You're not. Once you get a tattoo where no matter what you wear is going to be seen.
Yeah. And it's Florida, so it's shorts. They're going to be seen.
Right, of course.
Neck tattoo is aggressive. Like, there's this dude on, like, you think, like, Conor McGregor ever thinks about his neck tat, and he's thinking about what 80-year-old Conor McGregor is going to be like?
No.
Really?
No way.
He's going to be an old Irish man with a gorilla thing on his chest.
Talking trash.
With a he's got a damn tiger on his belly button. Like, could you imagine that as an old man? We're going to have a generation of old geezers in the nursing home with Birdman tattoos around their neck.
I mean, they probably said the same thing about the 60s and 70s with those.
They took it to another level, Leroy. Like, this is a one guy with a Popeye tattoo or an anchor tattoo on his bicep.
Could you imagine 70-year-old Mike Tyson?
Oh my God, with that face. He looks weird with the face thing. He's got the gray beard, but he's got that faded face. You remember when he first got that, he said that he wasn't done. Like, it was supposed to be another side to that tattoo. It just never occurred.
Yeah. All right.
Pretty wild, though. I think that it'd be one of these cases where, you know, we look to ourselves, like, for example, Udonis Haslam has some neck tats, not quite like Birdman. Do you think that we'll ever have an NBA coach with a neck tat?
I'm trying to think. When you think of the guys who were coaches, so let's go with.
Yeah, Doc Rivers.
Nope, wasn't his speed.
You got Jason Kidd.
Nope.
I'm trying to think of the young ones. Derek Fisher. No.
No.
Those are the former players coming to mind right now.
I mean, think about it.
Monty Williams.
Who do you say is going to be the president of the league? Of the Heat? D-Wade.
D-Wade, no neck tats.
Right.
UD, if he was a coach, neck tat. That'd be kind of cool. And he has the, you know what else he has? He has what? The full hand tats. Those are cool. You know, Haslam has the whole damn state of Florida tattooed on his back. It'd be kind of cool. You have the coolest coach around. Big old tats all over the place.
You think, hold on. I would tell you what. Spo's got to be one of the coolest coaches in the league.
He is one of the best dressed. He's got like those Euro ties. It's real thin. I appreciate that. Especially like if you go back and look at rookie coach Spo, those suits were a disaster. Now he's looking real stylish. Probably since he got married, his wife, you know, did it right. She probably is like, look, you look ridiculous. You look like one of these guys with the overdressed suits back in the day. You ever see the T-Mac suit when he was on television?
Yeah. But no, as soon as he started making that good money, and Pat Riley got him the hookup.
Right, the Armani.
Right.
Yeah, Spo wears those suits right, man. He looks good. Especially with he's always got a cool belt buckle, and he's got a nice proportioned tie. Because Spo's a slender dude. He needs a slender tie. He used to have these bulky-ass accounting ties back in the day when he was a rook.
Yep.
He had a ton of hair. Looked like he never got a haircut. Now he's all styled up. Looks fantastic. Telling you. Neck tat coaches. That's the next one to come.
Tim Duncan could get a neck tat.
Tim Duncan has dreads now.
I mean, but you can always cut. Well, put it this way. He's a little late in the game for that. And they ain't going to grow that much more before they start going the other way. So it's just a phase. Neck tat is not a phase.
Nope. Damage is done, my friend. We're back after this. I like this. Oh, yeah. It's Friday, Leroy.
Yep.
Last segment of the day. Last segment of the week.
Yep.
Froggy. Ready to roll.
Yep. Ready to roll.
Thanks again to Paul DeGelder for joining us. Thank you.
Oh, Rob. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'm going to go. My son wants to go on a bike ride.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to take him there.
Is he off training wheels yet?
Yep.
He is?
Nah, not yet. Not yet.
Get ready to say.
No, he's not.
Okay. Does he get to the point where he gets tired of riding bike and he goes, "Daddy, I don't want to ride bike anymore"?
Every time. Every time. Normally when we're like 3 miles away from the house. So I got to carry him.
Why don't you turn around?
I remember came in. Well, no. Because what happens is he doesn't want to ride anymore. It's me to carry him and him to pick up me to pick up his bike. So I come back with like the swollest traps you've ever seen, looking like a turtle. Because I got him on my shoulders, but I usually have, and I'm carrying his bike in one of my hands. No joke. Right now, man. He's hitting. I put up a punching bag yesterday, Leroy. I built one.
Oh.
So he's going ham on that for a little bit, but he wants to hit the speed bag because it was a dual bag. It came with both. So now he's trying to reach up to the speed bag to hit that. Yeah. But he can't reach it right now. He's pretty pissed. What do you got to say, buddy? Come here. What do you got?
Punching bag.
Oh. What do you got anything to say about dinosaurs?
No, I have my headphones, so I can sing one of the songs.
You won't be able to hear yourself with these ones right now. Well, we'll do it after the show, okay?
Well, can we turn on the levels?
Yeah, we'll turn on the levels. He likes to hear himself because I got an echo board here, Leroy, so he can make himself sound like he's in space.
Oh. He, see, yeah. You're at a different age. My kids are asleep.
What do you mean?
They're asleep.
that's adorable. Yeah, that's adorable. Well, my wife tried this theory for a couple of days where she's like, let's let them go to bed later so they'll wake up later. And instead, he just went to bed later and woke up the same time. And so he was cranky as hell yesterday. So I'm like, yeah, we're not doing that again. He's going to get up early no matter what. So let's just let him get his 12 hours in.
Right.
That'll make him way better. Nope. Make him feel way better. So if you missed it earlier in the show, we were talking about this yesterday on SportsCenter. Khabib Nurmagomedov, UFC lightweight champion of the world, he had a response to all the criticism he's been taking for not fighting in UFC 249, not fighting against Tony Ferguson. Here is the UFC champ talking to you, SportsCenter's ESPN's Brett Okamoto.
This is not regular fight. This is like, how is like 16 days before fight and I don't know location. What is this? This is not professional. This is not like even like Tony Ferguson, like a couple days ago, he talked, hey, if I don't have location, I'm not going to sign contract. He said this. This is not my word. But nobody pay attention on this. You know, I don't understand. Like, hey, give me location. I have to come. I have to fly. I have to jet lag, you know, like different climate. I have to cut weight. I have to focus. I have to finish my training camp. Like too many stuff. Too much. Okay. Like right now, if they give me location, if I can come out from Russia and I can go to in any countries like US, Abu Dhabi, doesn't matter. I'm going to fight 100%. 100% I'm going to fight.
I like that he makes jet lag a thing. Like it's a right. Verb.
I have jet lag.
I have. No, he doesn't say I have jet lag. He says I have to jet lag. Like right. I have to go through jet lag. Right. I must. I come. I fly. I go. I cut weight. I have to jet lag. Like what? What is? Excuse me. Yes, must jet lag. You know.
I feel bad. I feel bad for him because he's taking unnecessary heat, and Tony can basically pile in on him.
Right.
Because there's nothing nobody can do about it.
These guys, you know, it's such a different hate between him and Connor because him and Connor was a personal hate. These guys legit have a personal rivalry that's just never been able to be squashed. It's right. Never been able to be. It's like it would be so frustrating. It'd be like one of these matchups you've been wanting to see forever. It's kind of like, I would say, man, what's one that we never got? I would say probably like a Kobe LeBron finals. We never got that, and those guys were, you know, kind of one and two of this post-Jordan era of, like, the player, and you would have wished you would have gotten a championship matchup against them, but you just never did.
Right.
Like, I think that is probably the best parallel I can make. Like, is there a Super Bowl quarterback matchup that we never got? Because we got Manning versus Brady all the time in the AFC Championship. Right. We got that plenty.
Did we ever get Marino and Elway in a championship game?
I don't think so. I don't think we did.
And they were in that draft, correct? They were in the same draft, right? Did we ever get Phillip Rivers and Eli?
Nope, because Phillip Rivers never made it to a Super Bowl.
Right.
The closest he got was that. Remember the injury that he had?
Yeah. So no, it very rarely happens. Like, you have a better chance of it happening when your team's smaller.
Yeah.
So basketball is the best chance for the two stars, because usually that means you're on the two better teams.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's normally because it's normally one of these things where, if you get the fight, especially in UFC, like, there's definitely been rivalries in boxing that have taken way too long to get to. Like, obviously the one everybody goes to is Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather. Hopkins, Roy Jones happening way too late with their rematch.
All those guys with Tyson, but the heavyweight division was stacked.
All the guys in the heavyweights. So yeah, that's a common thing in boxing. But UFC, man, it's so rare because everybody fights everybody. Everybody fights everybody, and so, you know, like DC John Jones you would think you'd get that. I mean, they could have done that over and over and over again, and people would still be into it. But those guys cross paths as the best two light heavyweights. You know, Stipe Miocic has taken on basically every heavy. Him and Daniel Cormier have rematched, but he's taken on basically every big time heavyweight other than Brock Lesnar. It just doesn't happen in that sport. So for it not to occur to have a rivalry that must be debated. And the guys haven't lost in the interim too. That's been the other rare thing. Is normally someone's going to slip up and mixed martial arts.
It gets ruined. But here's the thing. It's going to happen to a guy who shouldn't be in the mix, because that's how MMA works. You could lose to anybody.
Yep.
So what's going to happen is these guys are going to put it off. They're going to go try to get another check. And somebody's going to lose, then what?
And then it's not the same. Yeah, it's not the same.
Well, what happens is somebody else is in the mix, and now you got to go through that third party.
Yeah, and sometimes it works out for you. Like, I would say in boxing, it worked out recently with Tyson Fury, because the first fight everybody really wanted to see out of those trio was Joshua versus Wilder. Those guys couldn't really get on the same page in the interim. Anthony Joshua lost. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder had a classic first fight where, you know, Tyson was winning the majority of the fight, nearly gets knocked out. But then in the aftermath of the rematch, he got blown out. He got worked by Tyson Fury. Now that rivalry is not quite the same.
Right.
Now everybody wants to see Fury versus Joshua.
Right.
So it's a very fragile thing. It's a very fragile thing.
You think
thing,
Joshua has a better chance against Fury?
No. No, I don't. I actually think that if I had to guess who had a better chance to beat Tyson Fury, like, I think it has to be. I think Wilder has to do what he did. I think he has to catch him. I think Fury's just too slick for either one of those guys. And now that he's knowing how to use his size, maybe Joshua will do a little bit better. But Joshua's, you know, big thing with Joshua is that gas tank, man. He gasses out fast sometimes in these fights.
Well, it's hard, you know. It's a weird thing because the bigger guy is the better boxer.
Right.
The better tactician, the better game planner as far as these matches, these boxing matches go. And the other two guys are haymakers.
Yep. Well, yeah. Like, and the thing is with, like, Wilder, he's all haymakers. And Joshua, he's one of these guys where he's pretty well polished and he can do a little bit of everything, but I don't know. You don't really know what his calling card is. Like, you don't know what he's great at. And I think that's always an interesting thing when you're a fighter. Like, I don't think Anthony Joshua has a real identity right now as a fighter. I think he was a guy that was powerful. Then he's tried to become a little bit more tempered, a little bit more reserved. And then because of what happened against Joshua, I feel like he's going to become even more reserved. So we'll see what that equates to. Anyway, man, have a great weekend. Dan Day, fantastic job this week.
Much love, guys.
Yeah, man.
Thanks,
Dan. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, everybody out there. Zaslow and Amber coming up next.
Throw my people under the bus. But that don't happen with other folks.
Who said the bull shark doesn't attack a lot of people? All Leroy said was, not as big as a great white shark, but you were too busy in being Facty McGee, wanting to be Mr. Trivial Pursuit, to even hear that out. Am I right, Leroy Horde?
Mr. Coke Fiend down here. They were still married.
I don't think you have to, but knowing Hassan Whiteside, why would he not play with himself?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.